oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos. This is It This League right here on Sports Grid. 3 hours of your favorite guys. Yeah, mediocre. At least like
guys that you like.
Guys
Why
that you
are
like.
Already calling us mediocre.
Sorry.
We're great. We're amazing.
We are
you
great.
You should be listening to us all 3 hours. We are the best in the business.
Look at that. Period. That's some positive. Emphatic at the end. That's Bogman, by the way. That's like hyped up. I think that's like pre about to have to go do 3 miles, like kind of trying to ramp yourself up. You know, like when you like you're really tired and you're just like you're slapping your face like, oh, let's do this. Like I think that was Bogman's like pre-hype, like let's do this because
I am Matt.
Yeah. Diamondbacks, all they do is lose games and Bogman has to do miles. But that is Scott Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. And you can come over to InThisLeague.com if you want to, find out a little bit more about who we are and what we got going down. That's our Patreon with lots of cool stuff over there if you want to check it out. Plus the million podcasts that we've got going on. And this just happens to be our weekend edition. And, you know, I tweeted out, Boggs, that like most people know, at least if you followed us a little bit, you know about this. And some people loved the bit last year, where last year Diamondbacks lose, Bogman needs Carl's Jr. This year, it's the inverse, where Diamondbacks lose, you're running miles for how many runs they lose.
Not
by.
Really running. I'm doing
well, walking.
Miles on the
Sorry.
Treadmill.
Yeah, you're walking miles on a treadmill. If they lose by 3, you're walking 3. I was going to play the inverse of this to kind of play along this year. I went and bought a bike, a not cheap bike, not crazy, but not cheap. And I was going
Might
to
as
do...
Well melt it down.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I might just, make a cool table out of it because I was going to do the differential in runs that they win by. And I do have to make up a couple because they had a 1-run win and they had a 3-run win. So I do have the 4 miles, which in biking, I'm going to double it. So 8 miles.
I did
miles.
More than that the first night.
I know. That's what I was about to say.
Opening night.
I thought, like, even pessimistically, like, I might, I might be really putting some on here. But I tweeted out on Thursday night, we're getting to the point with how horrid the Arizona Diamondbacks look, who, by the way, are many people's little darling favorites in this weird COVID time and a 16-team playoff to get, you know, to the World Series. I'm trying to remember who it was, if it was someone at the Athletic or something. I've seen predictors of the Diamondbacks beating the White Sox in the World Series. That's how much like little darlings they are in this process.
Yeah, but that sounds like the same thing as, that sounds like pity votes for the D-backs and the White Sox.
Maybe, but I thought they would like win some games. And I tweeted out, at this point in this process, Bogman is going to be like Christian Bale in The Machinist with how they're winning. I'm going to look like Christian Bale in Vice. I'm not doing anything. I was worried like, oh God, how many runs are they going to be up once I finally get this bike and built and installed? Hey, guess what? Just those four. That's it. I got the bike installed and I just started up. So they just don't win games. So not that anybody on here cares about the Diamondbacks. Just, you know, that's an us thing, but I'm excited and worried for you at the same time. I'm glad you're able to start this process because this might kickstart, you know, you kind of feeling better. At the same time, bodies aren't meant to do this type of workload the Diamondbacks are putting on you in at this moment, this quickly.
Right. This is, you know, this series against the Dodgers, I feel like, is going to be rather taxing on the body. So, yeah. And weirdly, as we're recording this, Joe Kelly's in the game. I guess he's appealing his suspension, so he gets to still play. Yeah. But
spoiler
yeah,
alert, where
I mean,
we are recording this, when we're recording this.
These losers don't they don't realize you're allowed to lose a game by a run.
Yeah.
Or two runs. Like, you can do that. I'm actually more annoyed by the time than the
what do you mean?
You know, the work.
What,
like,
do you mean the time?
The time it takes me to do the miles.
Oh,
like, I'm
yeah,
more
yeah.
annoyed by that. Like, you know, going to Carl's Jr., you know, 15, 20 minutes. So
that's true.
And I was still annoyed
by
that time last year.
And you got to like
eat
it up.
Lunch. Well, I really got sick of it at the end. Like, I undersold how sick of it I was, but I have not been back to Carl's Jr. So,
yeah, I mean, you and I talked, like, we joked about it, but you're a man of your word. Like, you're out here and you're videoing every single one of your sessions and it's on Twitter. You did the same thing with Carl's Jr. But we would joke about how, like, towards the end, you're like, I'm ready to go. Buy the bag with the food, dump it in the garbage, and then put other food in there and
right.
pretend like I'm eating it. Like, that's what, that was the point you were getting to. That you're not, you're a up, you know, you're an upstanding
well, there's this
citizen,
Euro place,
but
like right across the street.
Well,
from
I'm sure if you
Jr.
pulled out a Euro from your Carl's Jr. bag, no one would have bought it.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It would have been really fun.
Here's my Carl's Jr. and you're eating like tacos, like a quesadilla. Like, I don't think that's on the menu, guys.
But I've like, you know, I have like PTSD from all that Carl's Jr. I like avoid that area now, too. Yeah. I don't want to drive over there. So that I'm sick of that. I mean, you know, the treadmill you don't get sick of. It's just there.
Well,
you know I mean?
Yeah, sure. You don't get sick of it, but you can.
Well, when you
get
sick of
it,
you, you know, fold it up and put it somewhere or sell it on, you know, whatever for $25 to get it out of your apartment. So,
yeah,
you know, we've all been there, of course.
Sure.
So, just I give up. Take this treadmill. I don't want it anymore. So, but yeah, man, it's the Diamondbacks early season has not been great. They've got to start hitting, and Robbie Ray is the worst. It just
well, they're the epitome of all the problems of like what's going on right now, too. Like you would have thought more of a veteran pitching staff, like fantasy owners have to be reeling, because we had a SP streamer on our ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast earlier in the week. And, you know, he was very dismissive of Madison Bumgarner, but I don't think that was a consensus view, especially with, you know, this gold glove. As I pointed out, you have gold glove defense, not just in one position, like across the board. I mean, we're talking multiple and runner up type of gold glove stuff that's going on across the defense, plus a pretty damn good offense. There were high expectations. Robbie Ray contract year made very, very noticeable differences in, you know,
he
in
lost
his
a bunch of weight.
Yeah, lost a bunch of weight in his motion. You have Zach Gallen, who, you know, really was incredible in his time. You high hopes about guys like Merrill Kelly, and Merrill Kelly, you know, was the one bright spot. So all I'm getting at is like, they're the epitome of, hey, in a short stint, you know, you got guys that can go deeper into games. You got a guy like Robbie Ray. If he could just deal with that command, it's good to go. And it's all falling apart. Madison Bumgarner looks like absolute garbage. Robbie Ray looks worse than he's ever looked. And the team can't hit either. Like, they can barely put anything together.
Yeah, it's just Marte, really.
It shows you what we all think we know that you can't fully quantify. And I know it feels Homerism. People would scream Homerism at us as Diamondback fans. But, you know, if you really like take a look at this team and who they should be and how far off they are, it's unfortunate. And there's just not enough time. You know, that's
well, they've
the other
had a thing. Slow start. Yeah. And the Padres have had a hot start. So yeah. It's kind of opposite. You know, I know some people were picking the Padres. I thought it was maybe a year early and the D-backs were going to just be better than them. I thought the pitching staff was a little bit better. But like you said, Bumgarner, while still successful, I mean, he at least has command.
He's got command. Yeah, Robbie Ray. That's, you know, a good point. If those two could just like breed into one pitcher, they'd be fantastic.
They'd be really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point, too. Just make sure we get Robbie Ray's sensibility of someone who's trying to lose weight and not, you know, ruin their season by, you know, being Mason Saunders and riding bulls or riding ATVs or whatever it is.
Right.
But they're just like all encompassing.
Is it dangerous? I'll ride it.
Can I tell you, too?
My name's Mason, by the way.
It is weird watching American hero Joe Kelly on the mound right now. U.S. American hero Joe Kelly, who has the most memeable face. He did what we were all wanting, though, of course, Astros fans would be a little bit upset about it. I like that he's appealing. Again, like this first hour, you're going to get like a real nice all-encompassing ride of when all hours of this podcast are done, because they're all over the place this week. But like watching him pitch against the Diamondbacks, I'm glad he's appealing. First off, he is an American hero. Second off, the 8-game suspension is so embarrassing by baseball. It's so embarrassing with Manfred. He didn't hit him. Obviously, we knew what he was doing, and people have pointed this out, and I don't think it's wrong. He got the damn 8 games simply because of because of the lip going, you know what I'm saying?
No. He got the 8 games.
The taunting.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Well, the lip thing, I'm sure didn't help.
I think he got it because of the taunting. 100%.
He didn't. 0%. 100%. He got the 8 games because they just had a huge breakout in Miami and they don't want it happening from a fight. You know, so
yeah, but
I
that's not on Joe Kelly. Dave Roberts,
I know it's not on Joe Kelly, but it doesn't matter.
Nah.
It's on, you know, policing yourself, and that kind of stuff starts rumbles, and you can't have these players fighting each other in the middle of this pandemic.
See,
you just can't.
That's an interesting take. I hadn't heard that, because I think this is fully chalked up to Manfred having, you know, this no bull attitude of, you know, retaliation with the Astros, which is the most embarrassing thing on the planet. It starts there, and then it goes to the taunting. And
I don't blame anyone for thinking that Manfred's an idiot. So, I mean, I'm with you on the line.
I 100% think that's what it is. I think it starts with Manfred being like, hey, this is my no tolerance policy on blah, 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 this. And then the second off was because Joe Kelly made a mockery of the team by, you know, hey, not nice swing, B. And the lip and the like he taunted them hilariously like a baby. But the Astros haven't been none of the players have been slapped on the wrist. He didn't hit anybody. And, you know, he just doesn't give an F. And they suspended him 8 games. And why that's so ridiculous, everybody in the world has pointed out, it's like in a regular season, that's equivalent to like 20. I think it was 22 games is what I saw. That's insane. For the first person in the season to that. No, it is wildly too much for him to be suspended. He didn't even hit him.
But I'm telling you, it's because they don't want teams fighting. They just don't. Like, I bet Rob Manfred was so happy when Yasiel Puig couldn't sign his deal with the Braves, because that means he can't start a fight with the entire Reds team. You know what I mean? So I think that's what it was more about. It was trying to say, hey, you know, we can't have fighting this season because, you know, one guy has it and you guys start brawling, then that it could literally spread to most of the guys in the brawl. So,
I think it's a fair point, but I don't think that's about Joe Kelly. I think that's on management. And as Dave Roberts had to sit down his team and talk about how important it is that they, you know, that they don't get up and they don't, you know, they can't have bench clearing brawls and stuff like that.
Right.
At the end of the day, like, we're not going to play stupid.
But if they
even
gave
though
him
we...
2 games, just for a second, if they gave him 2 games
and
then the next time Joe Kelly's out there, someone says something to him and he drills him, now they're rumbling for real. Like that, and it still might happen. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility for that to happen. But I think now with eight games, like you said, a big, big chunk of your season, it's almost a sixth of your season, obviously. I think that you're less willing to do something like that. Players are.
I think it's bad business when, you know, your statement is made against the guy that threw at the Astros. It's bad. Make a statement 100%. With the Astros players. You don't like, all right, we're going to make our point really hard here, and we're going to go at Joe Kelly, because not only did he throw at two of the guys, then he taunted them, and you make that type of play. Like, listen, you set up a preseason thing. You know it's going to happen. Baseball is riddled with the unspoken rule. The whole game is this unspoken rule. So don't now play like, well, this is the thing that we're going to protect. You're going to protect an entire team who cheated, probably just under your nose, similar to the, you know, the Bud Selig steroids under his nose. Plenty of stuff was probably sent to them. They knew about the whole thing. And you're going to protect the whole team in a world of unwritten rules that you don't think a team... It should be the most unspoken thing on the planet that a team like the Dodgers or Indians would throw at them. So now you're going to throw the book at the pitcher who didn't even make contact with it. He was making a statement.
And he didn't even start the fight either. Like, no. He was yelling stuff.
Correa did.
To Correa's credit, by the way, he didn't start a fight. He just yelled at him, and the other guys from the bench came out. So
because everybody's all wired up.
And you're right. And AJ Pollock, and I can't believe I'm about to agree with anything AJ Pollock just said, but he said about this stuff, hey, look, the game has policed itself for so long.
That's what I was just saying.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. There's no reason for him to get this lengthy of a suspension, and he's absolutely right.
It pisses me off that
you're right.
This is the thing that they decide, like, well, now that the policing and the unspoken rules, we got to fix this. Nah, why don't you make a full-on determination across the board? Hey, if a guy pimps a home run and then you hit him or you start a fight, you're getting extra suspended. Make it all. Don't make it in protection of these cheating-ass cheaters. They cheated the game. They embarrassed the game. You look at Altuve and you cringe now, who used to be this once lovable player. Like, oh, look how short he is, and look how great of a player he is, and we love him, and look at that picture against Aaron Judge. He's now, it's a minion. He sucks. What? It's bad to look at him. Correa is the biggest baby. He has taken over the baby mantle from Manny Machado, and Bregman is just hard to like. Every person on that team is despicable, and baseball is like, well, now we got to step in. Now it's time.
What's more embarrassing for baseball, you think, though? The sign stealing scandal is real bad, but do you think that's worse, or do you think the Miami Marlins having 19 guys pop for COVID out of the 30-man roster that they have, 19 of them have popped, and there's rumors now, I haven't seen them confirmed anywhere, so I don't know, but that some of the Marlins were at a club in Atlanta the night that they went there to do their summer camp exhibition game against the Braves. So is it more embarrassing to have the sign stealing scandal, or, you know, everyone else in baseball is working out, and the Marlins are the ones that are dragging everything down?
It's more embarrassing because the sign stealing is a baseball issue. The Marlins just embarrassed themselves. The Astros inherently kind of did something the Marlins did on their own. They did this thing. But there were so many people, and it was a very league-wide known thing. I mean, you're not going to tell me, like, only the Astros knew when you've got, you know, Carlos Beltran from over here and Cora over there. Like, this is...
the Red Sox did it, too, just not to the extent the Astros did. That's already been proven.
This is just similar to me of, like, the steroid thing. Like, everybody knew what was going on. Don't even try to play stupid. Like, see, like, didn't know what was... Oh, what? Steroid? It's the same thing in this.
What?
So this is embarrassing for...
I'm hearing about it.
For baseball as a whole. And they're topping on the embarrassment because of stuff like, well, now you're going to suspend this guy who's doing what everybody wants, and now you're stepping into the unspoken rules, where the Marlins are just embarrassing for themselves. I think
the Marlins might be more costly.
You know who they are? They're the Gomer Pyle of baseball teams. Like, there needs to be a baseball team that fills up the pillowcase with towel or with
with soap,
and then just bop, bop, bop. Like, if they're a unit, that they're the Gomer Pyle of baseball teams right now. That's what's so embarrassing about it.
I mean, the Marlins getting contracted and nothing would be lost.
No.
I mean, that's exactly what
Well, that's pretty much.
I got to be honest, I'd be so pissed at the Marlins. I would just say, you know what? Why don't you stay in Miami for the rest of the year? We'll do this without you.
I'm telling you. Soap in the pillowcase. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. More baseball. Basketball is back. There's football craziness. It's a pretty jam-packed episode. Feels like sports is back in America. Thank God. We'll be right back. More in this league.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
In this league. Check us out online in thisleague.com and check out our Patreon. Brand new month is here. Actually, today it is the best time to come and sign up because the beginning of the month locks you down. There's some football news that is relative to ranks. Well, guess what? Brand new ranks dropping. We'll have two brand new comedy secret shows. We actually just dropped one on Friday. So you got a brand new show there if you sign up, plus a backlog of 80 other secret shows. Two more coming up in the month. Football ranks being updated, live streams, group B rooms. I mean, it just literally the list goes on and on. It's almost annoying. I know people get annoyed listening to it, but we talk about all the stuff. So just come and check it out for yourself in thisleague.com. We would deeply appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. I saw Bogman, you were kind of getting in the thick of some tweets because I was out tweeting a little bit tonight, like or on Thursday night, tweeting about Robbie Ray being garbage and Shane Bieber. I mean, Shane Bieber looks incredible.
Shane Bieber. Like, just give him the Cy Young.
Well, I mean, you know what pisses ridiculous. Me off, too? Like, Shane Bieber is one of those guys I kind of highlighted in the preseason. And people always get this stuff kind of wrong. And I really try to reiterate. He was never a guy that I was off or trying to fade. But in conversation, my biggest question was always the sustainability of strikeouts. Not that he would be bad. Not that he can't even be really decent or good, really good, without the strikeout numbers. But taking that next step into like an elite starting pitcher from a fantasy perspective where we're going into the Scherzers and the Garrett Coles and the Verlanders, you know, in that mode, DeGroms, like I've got to have a high maintained strikeout rate. And I had questions about his stuff and being able to maintain the high strikeout stuff, you know, because the guy's got really good command and he's got a good pitch mix. He's young. The sample size just had me in question where I didn't want to go and put him like five overall. Well, yeah. I've turned, and I was talking with someone on Twitter about this, where this is one of those things, and I've done this with prospects, where like I'm waiting for one thing, and it may sound like I'm lower on the person or dislike the person more than others, but if I get that one thing, I can have a complete role reversal, and that's what's happened with Bieber. Like, I think Bieber's insane. I made such a massive boost to my dynasty rankings, which are available on our Patreon, to Shane Bieber. And we don't really dive in, especially with this insane year, into in-season ranks. But, you know, I think he would, I don't know, man. I mean, I think he just, at this moment, I would take him over Scherzer for the rest of the year. He looks incredible. Wow. He's a Cy Young contender in the AL. If, and like you said, you know, practically give him to the dude at this point. and it looks like a good opportunity to maintain it. So, you know, Shane Bieber's another one of those just insanities of the year, but I was tweeting about that. But I saw you tweeting with Davenport. You were I like seeing like some original tweet content from Bogman out there.
Well, Gary, you mean besides the miles I do every day when the Diamondbacks
lose?
That's
a good point. That's a good point. That's right.
Yeah, I do some. You get mad because I just retweet the stuff that you put out there for our stuff. But, I mean...
Don't project on me.
We're talking to the same people. So I think a retweet's good enough.
I think it's perfectly fine. I like hearing from Bogman. Bogman is you're a witty guy.
I'm not the best at Twitter. And I'm really good at looking at Instagram, but I'm not good at doing it.
You are a master scroller, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I can scroll like nobody's business. So really good at looking at Instagram, right? But the Gary invited me to Deathmatch this year, and it's it's like the IDP league in the industry. It's a bunch of industry people. You have the full IDP lineup of 11 starters on defense doing the IDP stuff. So he invited me to it this year. I graciously accepted.
Is it like Fight Club? So, like, you could only be invited if somebody invites you?
A little exclusive. Gary runs it, so Gary has to invite you.
You have to get a special key, and you got to find a, use a black light on the door to find the right code.
Well, this is my third year of IDP, of the IDP show with Gary, and this is my first year in the, maybe this is my second. Might be my second year. But this is my first invite.
You know what? I got to tell you, I had this moment where I felt very proud for you because like Gary specifically,
it's going to be so, I don't know what it is. I'm going to be so mad when you're done.
You're going to be so mad. I think it might be insulting, but like you have been doing a show with Gary for a long time.
Two years.
And there's a part of me. Because I don't think I've ever seen Gary interact with you Gary kind of has a nomad look to him too, long hair, kind of like he's just a cool dude. I like Gary, but there's kind of this thing where I've always wondered, does Gary know who Bogman is? have you tweeted him? Would Gary know? Because I've never seen you and Gary interact. I know you guys do the show, but
it's one of us doing the tweet and the other one retweeting. Well, he's just as bad at Twitter as I am. So sometimes he remembers to do it. Sometimes I remember.
But what I'm coming from is originally, you just reached out to Gary in the very beginning. Hey, you want to do a show? And he's like, yep. And you guys just started doing a show. It's the most weird, out of nowhere, almost hippie type of vibe type of thing. So when I saw Gary tweet about you, I had this moment, Bog, where I went, Bogman's made it. I'm proud. Yeah. My boys made it.
He was he's fully corrupted now, and I've been doing full IDP league since 1997.
You wrote IDP in the goddamn black book this year too. So now that you're in the death match, it was a funny moment.
Well, death match is big, and I don't pay attention to a lot of industry stuff, but I do pay attention to death match. So happy to be in it, and the last industry IDP league I was in, I won. So these guys better be afraid.
What was that?
That's what I'm saying. That was the one that Joe set up, Joe Pizzapia set up over on Fantrax. It was that Roto IDP league. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, I didn't say I loved it. I just said I won it. So,
all right. Well, I just want to tell you. See, that wasn't as insulting as you thought.
Yeah. Not quite as, but still a little insulting.
I mean, it was a little bit.
Not as insulting as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I was proud. I felt like a proud papa. I was like, look at that. Mm-hmm. People tweeting about Bach.
Yeah, I'm 3 months older than you.
You are. You're very, very older than me. Yes, very old.
I mean, physically, I'm sure if a doctor looked at us, he'd be like, you're not in great shape, but this guy's worse.
Yeah, well, your heart's
that's
been
probably what he'd say.
Last couple days, for sure. We were talking about baseball in the Marlins. I don't know if I have too much more to say on it, though. What is interesting that baseball has made this pivot, and I find it fascinating kind of on both sides. I feel more and more by the day judgmental about just what a horrible, horrible job Rob Manfred does with his company and his business. And, at the same point, how much does he actually make decisions instead of, is he just asking other people to do it and you just have poor management skills? Just because so many things are done, I think, in a bad, incorrect way. I don't know if this is bad or good. It probably leans on a good side because of how weird the world is right now. But they're stuff is changing on the fly. And that's why I think it might be kind of good. And with the Marlins' absolute debacle of what they've done with, you know, just not taking care, not taking it seriously. And so many other teams, too, make them look embarrassing. And it really shows from a franchise standpoint, like how much better the Nationals are. Like, literally even thinking about, like, you know, David Martinez being like, I don't know about even playing this year. Like, people taking it so serious. The Marlins are just classic Florida man, just like, woohoo, don't care, going out for wings. And like, they're so embarrassing that baseball found a way to see if they can figure this out and pivot off of it. And one of it is, I believe it's been 100% agreed upon as of today, that moving forward, they've agreed that doubleheaders, there are going to have doubleheaders, and this will be in an attempt to fix any of these missed COVID things. The Phillies have missed games, Yankees, obviously the Marlins, a lot have been missed, that they are agreeing to doubleheader games, but of 7 innings. So, like, I don't know what the point of the 7 innings thing really truly is, shaving two innings off. I like they agreed
upon it. It's not to tax the bullpen arms.
But who cares? You got 60 of these dudes. You created roster flexibility.
There's already been weird injuries. There's already been weird arm injuries that have happened. So I think that's, I think that's just the point.
You know, I mean, maybe, you know, because there's days off.
It's so weird, you know, and you're already playing a bunch of games with very few days off, and summer camp was kind of quick. You know, it seemed quicker than spring training for sure. And you had a stop and start earlier this year. I think it's just, you know, it's just all those little factors add up to, let's just give these guys a little bit of,
I guess, like, I love that they've created an agreement to make sure that they can work through where everybody plays 60 games, you know, money, money, money. So that's fine. And, you know, we want to see that, because it'll be weird if, you know, the Marlins have played 50 games and, you know, then they go to winning percentage like John Heyman, I think, had proposed. But I really like that they're doing it. I don't know if I'm passionately against the whole 7-inning thing. I think it's odd, and I really hope people out there didn't keep complete games as a category this year, embarrassingly, because that's going to affect it across the board. But, you know, from a fantasy perspective, it could change a lot. I mean, there are plenty of bullpens that might not get touched. And I mean, I guess, you know, you can still get your saves. You can still lock into your saves. But if you have 7 innings, you might have teams be a little bit more timid about what the rotation looks like during those games. You know, where a guy might normally go 5 or 6, they might cap and say, well, we want 4 because we want the bullpen to come in.
And I don't know if they changed the rules, because the roster's already expanded, about, you know, double headers. Do you still get to add an extra guy to your roster?
I think you do. Because if you remember the Indians just played a doubleheader the other day, and they did that with Daniel Johnson. They optioned him literally after the first game. So they're able to kind of manipulate that. But the other thing they've done on the fly is baseball has talked and I think theoretically agreed, or at least it's being floated around, that, you know, how like they were going to do this periodic drop in roster size, that they're not. I don't think they're going to. If anything, they might add more spots as time goes on. So I like, it's a one positive thing, is I like that baseball is open to being flexible when they seem like the biggest, dumbest zilches on the planet when they were trying to come to an agreement. Like, they would not be flexible, and even stupid Rob Manfred said so in an interview after.
Well, none of this stuff is about money.
Well, not anymore. Yeah. All the other was with money.
Yeah.
It's kind of
without
about money.
I think you could come to a common agreement, you know, some type of a common ground on.
Well, no,
you know,
it's kind of about money, though, Box, because let's say the Marlins, for example, they didn't play all their games, that would have something to do with a TV deal, you know, with a certain amount of games not being televised.
Yeah, I think they'd be able to, you know, wriggle their way out of that, because they have stuff for, they have stuff for rainouts and crap like that, too. So there may be some cancel game provision. But also, like, how about the 10 guys on the Marlins that don't have COVID? They're not getting paid these games, I don't think.
No, they are. Well,
are they still getting paid?
The original agreement, I believe actually baseball is looking into this. The original agreement is that all players would still be paid regardless. But okay. I think because of, you know, the...
Isn't the COVID opt-out cheaper, though? Like, I know... Like, because David Price isn't getting his money, right?
Because he opted out. He doesn't get paid. No, he opted out of the season. He does not get paid. But I think baseball is looking into, because of the situation of, you know, the storyline that's following what the Marlins did. I think that's part of the thing, too. Like, if they, knowingly broke rules, went out to some, you know, club or whatever, you know, didn't follow this or that, their baseball might slap down and might hit hard. I don't know if it'll happen. It seems like it would be a really stupid bad play, because then, you know, what if, just for argument's sake there, you had a bunch of Marlins that now are revolting and you have a whole team of players that are now opting out because they're losing, you know, a fifth of their paycheck, and, you know, they've got baseball not behind them, and they've already, you know, they're all being ostracized and stuff like this. Like, what if, just, you know, what if you have that? And it seems like a player union absolute nightmare that would go on. But, you know, baseball has come to that agreement, and it really feels like mid-August on, we might be having some serious baseball nights, some doubleheaders that are going to be going.
Yeah, I mean, especially if there's another outbreak. I mean, we did have two Phillies test positive today. We'll see if we get more over the weekend or whatever, of course, and their weekend series was canceled now. But, it, you know, I think people also got to realize that while a bunch of the Marlins made a mistake, baseball is also learning. You know, we're all in a learning process of how this works and how sports are going to need to work and when we should take a break and all that stuff. Like, you know, I saw people insulting the Lions. I did think it was kind of goofy, but the Lions, because they put plexiglass in the locker room between each locker, the Detroit Lions. Yeah, and I was like, you're on the field for an hour sweating on top of each other, but plexiglass in the locker room. All right. I mean, I guess it's an extra thing, you know, but
oh, you don't like it?
Well, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I'm like, okay, you know, I just don't know what it's going to do. Like, these guys were already out practicing, sweating and running into each other.
Yeah. But after a game, you know? I don't know. Dude's just like walking around.
Well, look, it's just one more thing. It's fine.
Why not?
Yeah. So I'm not hating on it. It's just, okay, you know, one more thing. But people on Twitter were roasting the Lions for doing it. I mean, and not just, I don't think they were just your average, you know, right or left leaning tweets. It was just people like, oh, this is so damn stupid, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, just one more thing. Like, you know, maybe this is going to do nothing, but at least it's an attempt. Hey, you know what I mean?
Whatever we can do to keep things going. Like, I think, with how smooth baseball is running right now, it's more embarrassing. The Marlins are. They are more embarrassing with what a joke, because like I actually had this moment where I was watching the Diamondbacks Dodgers game and they just had the shot of like Cody Bellinger into the stands. And I was like, all these people that are just like, man, these games are so weird without, I could care less about not seeing fans there. It means nothing to me.
By the way, at Chase Field, loudest it's ever been is with no fans.
No kidding. Yeah, but broadcasts, they sound great. They're doing a fantastic job. You're hearing more stuff on the field. I see no problem with it. Baseball actually seems, for the most part, you know, there's some places that get little dings. Anthony Rizzo was bitching about the Reds on Thursday and, you know, having the guys in the stands and concourse. And they're always finding little things. For the most part, they're humming along pretty damn well. And then you have a team that just makes it look like a disaster. But hopefully it can be, you know, for the best and it can help them move forward, because I'll take whatever you got to give me to make sure we have the season that holds through.
That's right.
That's all that I want in the world. We got to go to break. We come back, though. We can talk about one of the best players in baseball that's out. Maybe get to some basketball, because guess what? It is back in the bubble. And we'll be right back. Thanks for watching.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams. Yes. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
Welcome back, friendos, In This League, right here on the Sports Grid, where we, Bogman,
are back.
We get on the grid.
Where we get on the grid?
Yeah, get on the grid.
Well, you said where we are.
I said where we.
I thought you said where we are.
No, I don't think so. Go back and listen. Another apology.
Yeah, no, I really wasn't paying. I was ready for you to do the introduction. I'm just trying to watch the D-backs, see if they can peel a run off these Miles here for me tonight.
I do like the selfishness of, like, you know, where, like, you have your favorite team and you're just like, man, I screw my fantasy team. I just want wins. Where you just gotten to the point you're just like, can I just get some run? Like, they can lose, but just get over another run or two.
You got to realize that the Diamondbacks have four losses on the books, right?
Yeah.
5-4 or 5-3-4-3. Like, you're allowed to lose a game by a run, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're allowed to not eat up my whole damn afternoon.
You're what?
On the you heard that.
Was that also, how was I about to take that? Was I about to take that advertising money back that I sent you earlier?
Yep, almost wrecked that, but I didn't. I stayed okay here. So, I don't know, man. It's just this team's a mess.
Yeah, it is. It is a mess. You know, one interesting.
Get on the grid.
Thank you. Get on the grid. We were just talking about you know, we're kind of talking about the fluid weirdness of everything, and you're talking about doubleheaders and then wanting to give rest. You know, the closer situation I can't get over right now because, you know, the Thursday night Diamondbacks game with the Dodgers, which we're kind of referring to right now. The night before, Kenley Jansen, who does not look fantastic, by the way, you know, velocity is down and just doesn't look like old Kenley. But, you know, that was already happening last year. He was in for the save. And then the next night, of course, the Dodgers are in another save situation and no Kenley Jansen. Not at all. It's they went to Pedro Baez. So, I mean, he is a viable save option. And the closers, I think if you were to like pinpoint the what is the biggest chaos, it has got to be the closer situation. From, you know, a top 10 closer in Taylor Rogers, not Tyler, being nowhere, just on a milk carton, disappeared, to closers we thought were going to be viable, like Nick Anderson, are not whatsoever, to teams that are kind of garbage closer situations anyways. The Giants have been crazy. Mark Melanson just got a save. I want to say that's like the fourth different save from a relief pitcher so far this season. It is, and I don't even know if they have that many wins. It's just nuts.
You said just a relief pitcher. I think you meant the Giants relief pitchers. So that fourth different guy with a save?
Yeah, like the fourth.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that.
Like, had one, or no, we're talking about the Braves here, right?
No, I was talking, yeah. You know what? I think I just put him. I put Melanson back on the Giants, like, for whatever reason. But,
See, this is what happens when baseball is just firing up right when we're doing football prep.
I guess.
All the names meld into one team.
But, like, this is the exact scenario. And you also have the guys that are struggling, like Craig Kimbrell and Sean Doolittle, really, really struggling. Daniel Hudson came in for the
Edwin
next save.
Edwin Diaz, you can't even say his name.
No, he's done.
He's just terrible.
He's done. Yeah. He's absolutely done. But, like, when you have the viable closers that are also struggling, it's putting up more opportunity that I think teams that felt like they might not be in, like, a competitive save spot are now. Like, I think, you know, the Nationals is Daniel Hudson first, and then you might see some Doolittle. I think the Cubs legitimately can move away or not want Craig Kimbrell to be in, like, back-to-back situations. And for no reason whatsoever, outside of maybe stuff being off, you're already seeing it from the Dodgers. So, you know, saves are, man, pay where you can. You know, if you can dive into a situation, even if it looks weird, and your fab really this year or waiver claims should be jumping on save opportunities.
But I put some on Holland, and then today they brought him in for a, I mean, he got the win, which is nice and all that stuff, but they brought him in not for the save, but in a tied game in the sixth after he got the save the other night, and we all assumed he was the closer. So I feel like, saves might go away because it might just be a different, or at least we may not chase him. We may just switch that to holds.
It would have been a great year to have save holds, but at the same time though, there is a true value on you getting a true closer. You know, you have such a step above anybody else.
Yeah, but if there's only like four in the league, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a good point.
Obviously it's not going to change overnight or anytime soon. You know, probably take 4 or 5 years of, you know, two or three guys getting 30 saves and everyone else getting, you know, way fewer than that for something to change like that. But I don't know, man. The way the game is going, it seems like, you know, the ninth inning just is not as important as it used to be.
I think there's a lot of teams, and I think you're going to see an effect next year, and it's really more of a conversation for next year in studying here, that you know, we talk about like, hey, it's a great year to experiment and blah, blah, blah. I think you're going to see a lot of teams with more flexibility doing more stuff like this, you know, treating pitchers like more and more high leverage. Nick Anderson is the high leverage Rays, you know, pitcher. And
yeah.
They, even though they have been going to Oliver Drake. And I think you're starting to see, you know, you saw the Cubs move away from Kimbrel. You're seeing, you know, night two, the Dodgers say, nah, no, Kenley, go to Baez. And I think this is going to, not that teams didn't already know this, but so many teams are going to kind of be thrown into this that you're going to see more rotational closer situations next year than you're probably ready for. Because everybody chalks it up right now as like, well, you know, it's COVID and, you know, guys weren't prepared. And there's only so many games, yada, 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 yada. But next year, you're not going to really have that excuse. But I think so many teams are going to have experimented enough and made pitchers more comfortable with it that they're going to be able to sell that. Now, at the end of the day, for arbitration and stuff, pitchers are probably going to hate that. That's going to be a big effect on closers down.
Well, yeah, there's going to be an ugly scenario at some point about that.
Like, what do you think the good closer number is this year? Like, it's only 60 games. So, like, you know, I guess if you cut a normal closer's saves in half, let's say like a good closer gets like 35. So let's say you go down to 18 and then you're going to cut, you know, another 40 games off. So let's call it like a good closer this year gets 13 saves. That sound good?
Yeah.
How many?
I don't even know. I'd be interested because I didn't look, but let me look at what the projection said.
Oh, yeah. Look at like a decent closer. Look at like a Taylor Rogers, what he was projected for. He was kind of in there because, I mean, you know, if 40 is really good and that's one quarter of 106, essentially one quarter of 162 game season. So 15 would be like a 40 save season this year. You know, a quarter of the season would be 15 mm-hmm. saves. So an average.
He's projected for 9 by Steamer.
So Taylor Rogers was?
Yes.
What about Ozuna? Give me Ozuna. Because, I mean, this will kind of kill some of the question. Because if I'm trying to make a case that 15 is like elite, you know, quarter of the season level, maybe 13 to 12.
10.
Okay. I was going to say, how many closers do you think in 2020 get double digits? How many double digit save closers are there this year?
4. You know, not many.
Yeah. I want to say 4 or 5.
Yeah, they have Hader at 9. So,
well, Hader's one of those leverage guys too, though, with the Brewers. They'll screw with you. Like,
yeah, but he really closed on the back half. So,
yeah, I mean, he'll go
37 saves last year.
And he'll go deeper into games, but I mean, could you even try to predict like who those 5 are going to be at this point? Like Ozuna missed some time early on, but he jumped right back into the situation. But
Jimenez already has 4. Like, you know, that's insane. Right. Yeah, and he's a Tiger. So,
But I'm saying you come into next year with only 4 closers, let's say, like your number, 4 closers potentially had double-digit saves, and a lot of look at the Indians for a minute here. Brad Hand is a really good closer. He's a top echelon type of closer. Well, James Karinchak got the save on Thursday night. He came in, pitched a perfect ninth inning, and he's kind of awesome, and he's kind of one of those future guys that you envision as a closer for this team. Like if the Indians were to move on from Brad Hand, they're not going to do it this year because they're probably going to win the World Series. He would be the closer of the future. They already went to him and he got a save in a perfect save situation. There are so many teams that are playing around with this that the 35 save closer, who had the most saves last year?
What was the number? I don't remember. Let me look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can, because I want to say like on the top, off the top of my head, like, is it like 43? Pitching. I think I might get to it. Maybe not. Wait, see, saves. It was,
who was it?
It's not the guy.
Oh, who was it?
It wanted to tell me it was Dakota Hudson, but it wasn't. I think it was Kirby Yates who had 41. Yates had 41. So 40 save closer.
40 close save guy.
There were 11 closers.
He was a third top half type of a pitcher last year.
There were 11 closers in 2019 who had 30 saves. I think that could be chopped in half in 2021. We might be looking at like 5 or 6 that get into the 30s with more and it's all speculative here, but if enough teams find success and like playing around with this And, you know, they've had a quote unquote an entire season and postseason to really push this around, that it's not about one closer anymore. It's about viable options across the board. Like, the Padres would be the perfect team to do this, but they hold to it. Kirby Yates is one of those guys. So, you know, 2021, it might be like Hader, Yates, and like Yeats, and like two or three other guys at best. You know, maybe the Yankees won't go back to it if they like where Britton's at, and they go back and forth with Britton and Chapman.
I'm trying to think about how the three batter minimum will change this too. You know, that's something that I'm not. Yeah, I just hadn't considered until talking about it right now. So I don't know, man. It's going to look weird. What do you think they'll do as far as arbitration and all that stuff goes in? And are you still going to, you know, as an agent or a player, are you still going to want your guy to get incentive-based deals around saves?
Yeah.
Or does that go out the window? Do they need to only be holds, or do maybe they already write them in as holds or saves?
I mean, guys like Drew Pomeranz got paid. He got paid pretty good, and he wasn't getting saves, you know, and he went over to the Padres. I think at the end of the day, it's more going to be about, you know, ERA, K per nine, you know, stranded runners and stuff like that. But I mean, let's not be silly to think that like these guys don't get paid off of saves. Craig Kimbrell was, you know, one of the better closers that we, and think of the price that the Cubs paid for Aroldis Chapman, you know, and Gleyber Torres and stuff like that. I just wonder, not that it necessarily means too much, but I wonder how far the league pushes off into next year and what that does for, because it would still take a couple of years for people to adapt to going to save holds type of thing.
Yeah,
it'll take fantasy a couple years to have that be more of like a standard. But I wonder what we'll be able to read off of this year going into next year. And A, will it be worth buying the Kirby Yates? Or B, just sit back and, you know, Daniel Hudson could end up being like a league winner if he gets the saves with the Nationals and you didn't have to even pay for him.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather be an agent in arbitration trying to argue that your client deserves more money because he got holds, and they're pretty much the same thing as saves? Or would you rather be the commissioner of a crotchety old baseball league that you want to move saves to saves and holds? Like, which is the worst scenario to be in if you're a person?
Well, what do you mean old crotchety, like a fantasy owner?
Yeah, like, no. Like, you're the commissioner of a league that has a bunch of old crotchety fantasy owners. They don't like change.
Oh, yeah.
And you're trying to change saves to saves and holds or whatever.
I mean, like, it's so hard, because like the reason I would love saves and holds is because then I can just get back to devaluing the reliever and not worrying about it.
Right.
That's my favorite thing on the planet. I would love to not. And then I could just go for leveraged, you know, eighth inning guys. You know, Nick Anderson would go from a guy who was going around 15 or 16 on speculation. Now looks like we shouldn't have gone there. He would be a top 10 option, because even if he's going to be in a leverage situation for the Rays or getting saves, he's going to have crazy high K per nine, good ERA, and he would be worthwhile as like just a top 10 reliever. And also some of the concern on some of these other guys would just fade away. You know, we wouldn't like Hader is, not that he wasn't already the number one guy, but he would be an absolute no-brainer. Maybe we wouldn't be as butthurt about Sean Doolittle or Craig Kimbrell. I mean, they look like garbage. That's their problem. But like, if they were losing saves, it doesn't kill us so much.
Right,
like Will Smith going to the Braves, people were drafting him over some of the other guys. We'll just take him because he's probably the best reliever in that pen. And if he gets a hold, who cares about the save? So,
And with the three batter minimum, you know, maybe sometimes some of these middle relievers are going to be worth more, because if they look good, it's like, well, let's bring him in for an inning and then maybe give him a second inning if he looks real good.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe some of those guys start to stack more innings too. That's a possibility. So I don't know. How did we get down the relief pitcher?
I was just watching Pedro Baez, and it made me think about, you know, like they're going to go seven inning double headers. That's better for bullpens, but teams are going to be experimenting, and they're already doing it so early, just one day. Like, they don't want relievers to pitch two back to back days. And guess what? There's no like days off anymore. So these guys are going game to game to game to game to game. That obviously it's more out of necessity right now, but at the same time, I think there'll be enough teams that are going to ride this experiment out into the future. You know, they're guys yeah. that have been groomed. Jonathan Hernandez could end up being a closer for the Rangers, maybe, but he's going to get the opportunity. And if teams see two or three guys, they've already had this experiment of exchanging the players in and out. I just think that maybe it's not a league-wide adopted thing, but if three teams are doing it, you know, before this year, and then coming into next year, maybe you're going to have like 12 teams, you know? So if yeah. you have half or, you know, maybe a little over a third of baseball going more the committee route on closers, it changes and just wildly kind of devalues that bottom end and just makes it more of a crapshoot where you're going to have the dudes taking closers in like, you know, 40 overall and 35 overall. And then if you don't get those, you're just going to wait. You're just going to wait yeah. and try to get Daniel Hudson or get, you know, Kyle Crick or Nick Birdie or something like that. So
yeah, and it's going to be weird to see, like, you know, if a front office changes, are you going to want to devalue some of those guys too? Because now they're analytics-based and maybe they're not going to use the closer as a closer. So
yeah,
that's weird stuff to think about.
Not if you're the Red Sox. So did you hear where they were like, analytics department never has sent us a lineup? And it's like, well, maybe should have.
Yeah, that's why you stole signs.
Yeah. yeah. Because you didn't need your analytical department because, you know, he had a camera. So, all right. That's the end of hour one. Bogman Welsh right here in this league where we, Bogman,
are on the grid.
Oh, we get on the grid. We're going to go to break and try to get back on the grid in hour two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.